praising the Lord.
Yes, he is.
In Senla.
He's in London.
And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
All right.
He's gonna be all right.
He's gonna be all right.
He's gonna be all right.
No need to worry.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's gonna be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Once again, we thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your patience towards us. Our Lord, thou art the potter. I am the clay. Yield in thy mighty hands. Have thy own way, Lord. Now, Lord, give me preaching power that I may proclaim your word, your will, and your way to thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, yes. Praise God. And the church said, amen. Reverend Lavallee, and to the officers and members of this great church, to all that it takes to make up this august body, it is just good for us to be here. Had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? We have so much to be thankful to God for. Mere fact that he woke us up this morning, he didn't have to do it. Allowed us to know who we were, who we are, where we were at. Minds were good. Then he brought us safely to his house of prayer, down the dangerous, busy highway. Nothing but a line separating you and another automobile. But he kept you in your lane and kept the other person in their lane. Yes. What a blessing that is. Amen. Like to lift up a thought this morning from 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Reading from the New King James Version. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted, that the Lord is gracious, is good. Reading from the Message Bible, it says, so clean house, make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You have had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breath, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Yes. Then you will grow up matured and whole in God.
Yes.
May God bless the reader, hearer, and doer of his divine word. I want to talk to us this morning for a few minutes from the thought, three ways to grow in your relationship with Christ. Three ways to grow in your relationship with Christ. You might ask the question, you've asked, how can I grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ? In this text, Peter shares with us three ways that you can grow in your relationship with Christ. Now, this letter, this epistle, was written to the church, God's elect. They had been dispersed and they were scattered throughout Asia Minor. And they had received the word of God. But it blows my mind when I looked at this text and turned it over in my head that in chapter 2, Peter would say, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and evil speaking. But yet in chapter 1, he says to the pilgrims of dispossession in Asia Minor, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But yet he says, lay aside. Can you understand that? This is the elect of God. They are saved. But yet he says, lay aside. Not some of it, but all of it. This word, therefore, takes us back to chapter 1. In particular, verses 13 through 15, where he said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct.
Yes.
Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
He
here now there talks about how to live before God. And he finishes off chapter 1 and says that now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. They have had the word preached to them, but yet he keeps coming back and he says, laying aside all malice. It's blowing my mind. I don't know, maybe you don't, you understand it, but I'm having a difficult time with this text. And I've come to the conclusion that there are a lot of folks in church that are saved, but yet have malice and hypocrisy and envy and jealousy inside of them. And why is that? They have rejected the word of God. We got Christians that are suffering from spiritual malnutrition. They are sick, they are lame, they are blind, they cannot walk in the spirit, they cannot walk in love because of a lack of the word of God in their lives. We have replaced the word of God with the lust of life.
Yeah.
replaced it with sex and pornography. We have replaced the word of God with the lotto and the casino and what have you. The things of the world, we have replaced the word of God with that in our lives. Yes, yes, yes. That's where we spend our time before the television. And instead of spending time with God in his word. And do you know if you don't eat spiritually, physically, your body will decay? Try not eating, Brother Brown. Don't eat nothing the rest of the day. And tomorrow, don't eat anything tomorrow. And Tuesday, don't eat nothing. Wednesday, don't eat nothing. Thursday, Friday, don't eat nothing else the rest of the week, Brother Brown. And I guarantee you, for next Sunday, we'll pick you up from laying down somewhere. If I can't do without physical food, how in the world can I do without the spiritual food, the word of God? Some of us are dealing with heart condition, all because of a lack of the word of God. We're dealing with spiritual diabetics because diabetes because of a lack of the word of God. We need some insulin in us right now. We need the word of God. Some of us, our spiritual soul glucose is high this morning. And when it's high, you don't know what you might say or what you might not do. You be out of your head when your blood glucose is high. Some of us that might probably peaking at around about 600-700 this morning. You need some insulin. You need the word of God. I don't know, this word may not bother you this morning, but it's bothering me, church. I can't help it, but it's bothering me. Do you know why it's bothering me this morning? Do you really know why? I see Willie in this word this morning. You may not see yourself. I don't know. But that's why it's bothering me, because I see myself in this word and I need some help this morning. I've been wrestling with this word all week long. And I didn't want to preach it, because I told God it's too much me in this thing. So I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to Willie this morning. I need some spiritual help this morning. Three things. And I'm going to let you go. That we got to do if we're going to grow in our relationship with Christ. And number one, we got to deal with sin. The sin in our life, we got to deal with. As Christian, we have choices to make and responsibility to discharge. And we must work to do that which is right in the eyes of God. And Peter is saying we got to put away some stuff. We got to give up some stuff. We got to get rid of some stuff that's inside of us. You got to acknowledge that you got a problem this morning. You got to acknowledge you got some issues this morning that you might be facing that you need to deal with right now with the word of God. See, we got to lay aside. We got to rid ourselves. We got to clean up the house. We got to have some fall cleanup. Yesterday, I want to thank the brother and the sister on yesterday for cleaning up around the church. We did a great job, brother. They did a great job of washing down the church, and it looks good this morning. Blowing the leaves back on the parking lot, it looks good this morning. But what are you doing with your heart? David said, "Wash me." His son, "Wash me." Well, I've done wrong. I've done wrong in the sight of God, not in the sight of my brother and my sister, but God, I've done wrong. Now I got to deal with it if I'm going to grow. It's not enough just to be converted, sitting down with your ticket in your hand, waiting on the morning train. You ought to be growing. It's wrong with a 50-year-old child, man or woman, still on diapers, still with a pacifier in his mouth. There's something wrong with that picture. And if you've been in the church any length of time, you ought to be better now than you were. I ain't gonna go back. You ought to be better today than you were yesterday. And if you're 54, you ought to be better now than you were when you were 44 or 34 or 24, folks. You ought to have grown since you've been in the church. But too many of us come to church just to get a good feeling. A lot of folks just come to church because they want to be made feel good. They won't live feeling good, but good feeling won't save your soul. Good feeling won't change your life. Good feeling won't give you strength when you're weak. Ain't nothing wrong with feeling good, Arthur. That's not what I'm saying, but don't come just for that. Amen. You ought to come to glean something out of the Word of God. Make you want to do better. Amen. Live better. And Peter is saying that we got to deal with the sin in our life. Got to deal with it. It's not an easy job. But if we're going to grow and turn from sin to righteousness, take up our responsible places before God, we're going to have to deal with it, my brothers. Paul put it this way. Paul put it this way in Romans 12. He says to us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The disciple Bible says, this is your spiritual act of worship, to present your body. You know, when you leave home in the morning, you don't just leave just looking as any old kind of way. So when you come before the throne of God, you ought to present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy, that's set apart, acceptable to God. Then you say, the way you do that don't be conformed to the world standards, the world lifestyle, the world pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test that which is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. What I like about Peter here, he calls a spade a spade. He puts it right down on the line. He said, first of all, he said, now you need to get rid of that malice. Not some of it, but all. You mean to tell me that the elect of God, and they had malice in their heart? Huh? In chapter 1, it said the elect, God's elect, by the foreknowledge of God, and yet he tells them here, to rid themselves of all malice. That's hostility to others. You know, you know, church folks can be hostile to each other. Church folks can be something else towards each other. You got some church folks that can't stand and sit on the same pew with each other. And sometimes I think that's why we have all them choirs, because we can't even sing together. All deceit, that's to deceive and mislead people, set a bait to try to catch them. But the point they're getting me, though, is hypocrisy. He said, put it away. Hypocrites. One who pretends, one who puts on a show, one who acts out something he is not, one who talks the talk but does not walk the walk. One whose profession is different from his practice. One who does not preach. One who does not practice what he preach and teach. One who acts as though he loves and believes God, but does not live like God tells him what to do. Talking about the hypocrite now. One who pretends to be following God, but is living like he wants to live. One who professes to believe God's word, but he questions it and adds and takes away from it. I'm talking about a hypocrite now. And the Bible says that hypocrites are children of hell. And yet, Peter tells them right in this text. Now, y'all just bear with me this morning. Put aside hypocrisy. Stop being hypocrites. Stop pretending. Stop play acting. In other words, he said, take off your mask. Sister Lavalette told us last week, be real. Be who you are. Hypocrites are children of hell. Matthew 23 and 15. You write them scriptures down, you can go back and read for yourself. Hypocrites are fools and blind. I pray that you're not here this morning. Matthew 23, verse 17 and 19. Hypocrites are full of uncleanness. Matthew 23 and 27. Hypocrites shall not escape the damnation of hell. In other words, hypocrites going to hell. That's what the word now. I didn't say it, I'm telling you what the word says. Matthew 23, verse 33. Didn't it say hypocrites shall not escape the damnation of hell? And he's saying we got to strip it off. Get rid of it. Envy. Get rid of it. In other words, that's being covenant. Wanting something somebody else has. And a person that's envy is never peaceful. They never have happiness because they always want more and more of that which is not theirs. They always want what you got. Old folks put it this way, trying to keep up with the Joneses. They see half of the truck pull up at your house. They call Cal the next day and bring something to their house. They don't know how you paying for that. Somebody may have gave it to you, but they're trying to keep up with you. You got a new car, and they decide they're going to get them a new car. Oh, on the sake of covetousness, they just can't stand you to do well or be blessed of the Lord. And he said, get rid of it. I know we don't have nobody like that this morning. And the Bible says, get rid of it. And the Bible says, Proverbs 23 and 17, it says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in fear of the Lord all day long. Have a reverence for God. All day long. Mama say, woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I'm walking and I'm talking with my mind staying on Jesus. You got to understand that stuff will get old. Stuff will wear out. Sooner or later, no matter how much stuff you got, you're going to leave it for somebody else to enjoy or throw it away. Just be grateful and thankful for what you do have, and don't worry about what somebody else got. The same God that blessed them will bless you too. They may be staying up all night trying to figure out how they're going to pay for that stuff. There you go out there, get you some stuff, and then you up all night long with them trying to figure out how you going to pay for your stuff now. Say, get rid of it. Then he says, all evil speaking. Hurt folk don't do that. They don't say hurtful things to each other. Slander, vicious, destructive talk about individuals. Church folks don't do that. Talking about those that God loves. No, church folks don't do that. No, they don't do that. But I guess keep going back. That he's telling the church in Asia Minor to stop that evil talk. Slandering people. That's what he's telling them, Brother Brown. And he's saying to Mount Olive this morning, cut out that evil talking, backbiting, talking about your sister or your brother. If you can't say something good, don't say nothing. Just shut your mouth up. Colossians 4 and 6 said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Not cayenne pepper, but salt. Huh? Not cayenne pepper, but salt. See, salt preserves.
salt gives seasoning. Cayenne pepper is hot. Pepper. He said with salt, it gives flavor. And the old folks used to be, you didn't have refrigerators and what have you, and they would salt the meat down and it would preserve the meat. Edible. Say, let your talk be seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. That's the reason why we don't know how to answer each other, because we don't have no salt in our conversation. Sometimes we don't have no seasoning at all. It's just bland. It just come out. You know how food is when you don't put no seasoning on it. You can't hardly eat it. Sometimes you be someplace and there don't be no seasoning, especially chicken. Don't be no seasoning in the chicken. You just kind of pick at it because you don't want the people to know that they didn't know how to cook. But season with salt, with grace. That's what you ought to be. Talking about the goodness of God, for where God have brought you from. But do you notice that these sins, they are not physical? Look at them. Lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. They are sins of the mind, spirit, and heart. They are relational sins. They are the sins that will break up a relationship. Do you see where I'm coming from? These sins here will cause you to have a lack of communication. These sins then will cause you to stay in ruins with your brother or your sister. These sins then will separate you from the love of God. You wonder why you're not growing? Check the list out. I done checked it out for Willie, but you need to check that list out for yourself. That may be why your relationship with God is the way that it is. It's strained because you got some stuff in your mind, your heart, and your spirit that you need to get rid of. And the only way you can get rid of it is through the Word of God. You got to spend some time in the Word of God. You got to meditate on God's Word. You got to be a hearer and a doer and not just a hearer. These sins, they hinder us from spiritual growth in the Lord. They're unworthy habits and customs that's got to be absolutely discarded and put away if we to grow in Christ. Secondly, if I don't hold you too long, how can I get to this point? Well, you got to deal with it. I said that to you already. David said in Psalm, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, it's plural too, sins. He is faithful, God is faithful, and just, and will forgive us of our sin and purify us of all unrighteousness. In other words, as you deal with the sin in your lives and turn from it, then and only then, will you grow in your walk with Christ? Not only my brothers and my sisters, I must have made us pay too much time on that, but I had to say what I had to say. Secondly, if I don't hold you too long this morning, but secondly, I gotta have a passion for the Word. Not only must I deal with my sin, my darling, but I gotta have a passion for the Word of God. It's right there in the text. As newborn babe, That is one thing that put all babies on the same level. They all need milk. A baby in Russia will cry for milk. A baby in Italy will cry for milk. Babies in Haiti, they're crying for milk. Babies in America, they are crying for milk. They may not speak.